Welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review. Our several-year mission will be to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. We will be reviewing every Star Trek comic book ever published. These stories have been released by Gold Key, Marvel, DC, Malibu, Wildstorm, Tokyo Press, IDW, and others. Star Trek and all that the Star Trek universe contains is copyrighted by CBS Studios, Inc.
Hello and welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review with Donovan again. Episode number 425, recorded June 23rd, 2024.
So we got Predator versus Wolverine.
The final
two issues, yep.
There you go. So Wolverine keeps on surviving. The constant Predator attacks through time. Well, not constant, but frequent.
Right.
And I think it's you know, how will Wolverine win? Or will he win? I think we said before, he's going to win because he's Wolverine. He's got to keep going.
Right.
But how will he do it? How will he do it?
And I will say, this is like one of the toughest Predators we've ever seen, because I've never seen too many comic book series where a single Predator lives through as much as this poor Predator's lived through. Usually they get predators. Killed off. Yeah, they get killed off by whoever the hero is, mm-hmm. in their whatever time frame they're in. This Predator, right. he's been fighting him for 100 years,
exactly,
and still lives predator. To come back.
Right, he was a young Predator around the turn of the century, 1900, and then he continues to be around and grow to full maturity, and is still a pain in the butt in modern times. So,
right.
So that's right. That's a pretty long lifespan.
Yeah.
I mean, to be still, you know, muy macho, which he is.
Oh, he
in
is.
In fact, he's big and bad at the end. As time goes on, bigger and badder.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, the series is good. I do think that I don't think it's as good as some of the other crossovers that Predators mm-hmm. had.
Okay.
So I really wanted to like it, but I wouldn't say it's as good as, you know, his team ups or his fighting against Batman and other established comic book characters, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I really, really, really liked the first two issues.
Mm-hmm.
As time goes on, though, in the last two, as I read the last two, it was like, some of these I'm not liking as much. Some I am.
Right.
But they in multiple of these little vignettes where they're fighting at different time periods, sometimes instead of just having a fight the same way every time, they do try to, in some cases, do the unexpected. So I do right. like that. But in the end, how it finally ends. It's like, oh, that's how he does it?
Right.
Oh, that almost seems like cheating.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that the decision to put Predator in all the major milestones of Wolverine's life was...
Oh.
I mean, it was kind of a cool idea, but it also kind of... takes it away, as opposed to having one long story. We now have a bunch of little side stories that don't really change doesn't change Wolverine's past at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All this horrible stuff happens to him, and then he still goes through the Weapon X thing like nothing happened, you know. So it's like, mm-hmm. how that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
which we'll find out in the third issue that
there you go.
And then even in the fourth issue, when it's kind of more of the classic X-Men storyline, even that one was just like, man, neither Wolverine or Predator comes off looking good in that one. It's just like this little weird story.
Right.
Anyways, we'll talk about it here in a second. But anyways, long story short, I'm a little disappointed. I'm hoping that the Aliens Avengers crossover that they're about to have, you know, maybe tries to tell, you know, a connected story that's all in the same time frame. Maybe that'll be a little better.
Okay. I'm just wondering how that whole Aliens thing is going to work out. Because it's like, yeah, the aliens have some level of intelligence going on that we've seen in the past, unless there's some expanded universe that says, oh, they're really fully intelligent. It's like, well, all they've got is brute strength and blood acid and things like that. Mm-hmm. Where at least the Predator, there's some cleverness, there's some thought, there's, you know, more stuff going on.
Yeah, agreed.
Where if it's just a, you know, the alien is just really deadly because that's just the way the xenomorphs are built, and there really isn't any kind of thought going on, any real thought, any planning, any, you know, that kind of thing. I just don't know how compelling that'll be.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. See what they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about
Predator and Wolverine.
Predator and Wolverine.
Of which I will be summarizing the third issue. Shall I proceed?
Please do.
Ew, yes. Okay, so this one, and apparently all the issues are November 2023 published date. Okay, that's cool. Writer, Benjamin Percy. Artist, Ken Lashley in the present day period. Hayden Sherman is covering the Weapon X storyline that's happening. Little story in here. And then Kay Zama, or Kai Zama, I'm not quite sure how that's pronounced, is in the Muramasa era in Japan. Colorist is Juan Fernandez and Alex Gumare. Letterer, VC's Corey Petit. Additional logo design, Sarah Spashini. Design, Jay Bowden. Assistant editor, Lindsay Kohick. Editor, Sarah Brunstadt. And the editor-in-chief is C.B. Cebulski. Okay, we got five covers. Cover A features Wolverine in full costume, brandishing a Japanese katana sword in his right hand and his claws deployed in the other. Above and behind him is the Predator with spear and knife in his hands, ready to strike. Art is by Marco Chichito. Cover B features Wolverine fighting four Predators on anger alone. The art's by Wils Portasio. And he looks very angry. Cover C presents a chewed up and spat out Wolverine in full tattered costume, brandishing his claws and flexing every muscle in his body as a huge scarred Predator head looms over him from behind. Adam Kubert is the artist. Cover D features Wolverine squatting low in a sewer as a huge Predator is poised above and behind him, ready to strike with his wrist blades extended. Art by Corey Smith. Cover E, the final one, presents a virgin version of cover C, also by Adam Kubert. Canada, now. Wolverine is where we left him in the last issue, pinned under boulders at the bottom of a river, with the Predator in the water and swimming with frightening speed towards our anger management underachievement hero. As the distance is rapidly decreasing, Logan is pushing with all his might up on the boulders, stirring up river bottom sediment and bleeding profusely. All Wolverine's motion is kicking up a cloud of detritus that obscures the Predator's ability to see his prey, oh, so close. By the time the Predator is on top of his last known position, Wolverine is gone. Nothing left but a black rubble pile. Shift to the past in the Weapons X facility. The Predator can see on the monitors what appears to be adamantium fusing to Wolverine's skeleton. Fascinated, he needs to see more, so he starts slicing away on Wolverine's left chest skin and muscle to expose the rib cage. A rib cage covered in shiny adamantium. Surely the hunting prize of a lifetime. The pain and violation of being cut into snapped Wolverine out of his chemically induced coma with all the mindless rage Wolverine is known for, and then some. The claws automatically snap out of Wolverine's right hand, and he sinks his claws deep into the Predator's chest for some payback. Unfortunately, in a weakened condition, that would be the only attack Wolverine would be allowed that day. The Predator sprays the aerosol acid into Wolverine's mouth. Wolverine, horrified, experiences his skin and eyes melt away. His mouth, throat, and teeth turn to liquid. Quickly, all you can see is that his head dissolves into bone, exposing smooth skull on a burly, hairy human body. The Predator takes his prize out of the installation in a fireman's carry. The Predator enters his nearby spaceship with his prize. He puts Wolverine down on the ship's deck that is covered in a light blue cloud of gas. As the Predator moves forward to the control room of the ship, he is administering first aid to his chest where Wolverine's claws sank ever so deeply. Suddenly, an explosion happens that rocks the ship. Two F-35 fighters were scrambled in response to the breach at the weapons X site and spotted the massive ship sitting on the forest floor. They gave the Predator their business cards since there was no response to their hails. The Predator decides it's time to get out of Dodge and takes off. The nearby explosion amazingly wakes Wolverine, who gets to his feet and moves around in the ship. On the way up towards the black, the Predator takes out one jet, but the second jet is able to let loose a volley of missiles that apparently did not do much damage to the Predator ship. By this point, the ship is high enough to be considered in space, but Wolverine still makes the call that he needs to get out of this ship if he's going to survive. He deploys his claws and hacks away at the ship. He is finally able to get a big enough hole in the ship that he gets sucked through the hole he made and escapes into space, naked. Wolverine and loose bits of the ship head down towards Earth and start picking up friction-related heat. A naked man and chunks of alien metal start glowing and catching on fire. Eventually, they hit the ground. In a crater is the desiccated remains of Wolverine, more skeleton than flesh and blood. Sometime later, Dr. Thornton and a Weapons X team arrive at the site of the multiple craters. They take away Wolverine's remains and a metal helmet of some kind that they found nearby. Thornton ponders this alien helmet while Wolverine is taken to the chopper. Later, back in the base, Thornton is able to unlock some of the alien tech secrets that he uses on Logan. A grotesque helmet is on Wolverine that covers his eyes and most of the top of his head. 1 week ago, Wolverine is walking in a clearing in the Canadian forest with a briefcase. He unlocks the lead-lined case, extracts the alien helmet, and places it on a tree branch so its likely signal can get out and catch the attention of a certain someone that Wolverine intends to hunt and kill. Japan Muramasa's estate in the past. Logan is in a comfortable white and black Luke Skywalker outfit with a trusty katana at his side. A swordmaster named Muramasa comes out of nowhere and attacks Logan in a most Kato-like way. Logan's thoughts tell us that Muramasa is the best swordsman in the world, and he has taken Logan under his wing as a Padawan. Through the impressive fight that ensues, we can see that Logan is pretty good with a katana, but is still learning from the master, Muramasa. When Muramasa has Wolverine dead to rights, signaling the end of their friendly little sparring match, a new player emerges to challenge them both. It's the Predator, wearing a skull mask, and looking like he put on a lot of muscle mass. The one-on-two fight shall commence. To be continued.
There you go.
Okay. So yet another fight teed up for the next issue.
Right. Yep. And that's all this book is, really. It's just them fighting. Cut to another time. They fight.
Exactly. Yep.
But I guess that's what you want out of these two guys.
Well, true. And they did do some memorable things. Like that whole thing about the Predator coming in when I guess they're in the middle of Weapons X putting the adamantium on them.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's not very fair. and then, you know, when he gets sprayed in the mouth with the acid, it's like, that's pretty memorable.
Yeah. Let's talk about that real quick.
Okay.
So his brain and everything was dissolved too. So how was he able to still be moving around?
Well, apparently his brain wasn't dissolved, at least not all the way.
And I guess it'll regenerate if it was?
Apparently everything regenerates with Wolverine. And right. And though his brain, I mean, you know, I couldn't include this in the summary, but I mean, you're getting his thoughts, like looking back on it. Like he did all this research because he doesn't remember any of this. So he pieces together what must have happened. So we really don't know all the details. So this is just Wolverine just putting together the details and figuring out what must have happened. So who knows how it all happened, but boy, that's gross. So Wolverine's walking around the inside of the ship, a skull, and he's got his like pretty much normal physique, all naked and
yeah. Yeah, he looks like he looks like a naked Ghost Rider without the flame, just a skull on a body.
There you go.
But yeah, there's shots where you can actually see kind of up his skull, and yeah, it looks like it's all gone. His brain, his muscles under the jaw, and everything is gone. It's just skull.
Yeah.
And yet he's eventually able to start walking around and jump out of a ship in space with the skeleton head.
Yep.
You know, I love comic books and yes, you always gotta like, okay, you gotta just go with it. This was the part where I was just like, even I'm having a hard time with this one.
Yeah. Suspended disbelief is coming hard at the moment.
Right. And then he falls from space, burns up in reentry, lands, and is just a skeleton again, and then he still like gets up. And I mean, it doesn't get up, but eventually he'll get up after they take him back and
let him regenerate. Enough time, exactly. So there is still burnt, charred flesh on the bones, but it's just the skin. It's like there's no muscle or fat underneath. And quite frankly, if that's the worst that happens to your body when you fall from space, I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's in a giant crater. I mean, and he was completely engulfed in fire for the whole reentry process. Yep. So
that alone should have burned off. I mean, every bit of flesh, every bit of soft matter. And I would propose that there wouldn't be much. I mean, there wouldn't be much in the way of bones left.
No.
By the time you got through the atmosphere.
But I mean, he has adamantium bones, so nothing can burn up his bones.
Invulnerable. So the adamantium, and wouldn't the adamantium melt? I mean, isn't there some point where adamantium melts?
Only when you're casting it onto the bones. Aside from that, it's impossible.
Good catch, because obviously they're doing that in the
right. But yeah, so you know somehow they're able to do it, but we don't talk about that. Same thing with vibranium. It's just like they can melt it, they can forge it into weapons, but those weapons are indestructible and can't be broken. Well, then how did you melt it?
Okay, so and then, you know, how did, in the two movies, Cap's shield was broken
right
by yep. Oh my God, what was his name?
Thanos.
Thanos. I don't know why I couldn't remember Thanos' name. Anyway, so Thanos was able to break it with that big old sword of his. So mm-hmm. Is the sword made out of adamantium or vibranium? Is that why it was, or it's made out of something pretty doggone tough?
Yeah, it's called
it's able
plot.
To chop through. It's called plot. It's like it had to do it, so it did.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So. Okay.
So I guess. So it's kind of interesting to think that the very first person that got the new Wolverine claws was the Predator. I mean, that's the first person he stabbed with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, that's a good point.
That's canon now, baby.
Mm-hmm.
He woke up, stabbed the Predator, fell from space, mm-hmm. went back into the vat with the helmet, and then we get the Weapon X series.
Yeah.
Who knew? Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah, so it's pretty cool, but Jesus, got to really, spectacle over anything that makes any kind of sense,
right?
Like, for example, another thing. When I was first reading this, I thought, oh, those missiles that the jet shot up must have, you know, breached the hull of the ship, but no, he has to have enough wherewithal that he's going to chop a hole in it.
Right.
And you would think the first hole you would chop in it would be kind of smallish. So kind of like that Alien movie where the alien gets sucked into the little hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets sucked out, but through a little hole. So it's like I'm thinking, luckily he was able to – it immediately broke away to a nice big man-sized hole. So
right.
Pretty lucky.
And from the movie The Predator, we found out that their shields work a little differently than like Star Trek shield, where it's actually a physical barrier in between space and the shield. So how did he get through that?
Oh.
So I don't know. Something just doesn't quite add up there.
Yeah, I didn't even remember that Predator ships had physical shields. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do a whole. There's a whole plot point where it like slices through people that are standing on the ship as the shields come on.
Oh, cool. What movie was that?
The Predator. It's the worst of the Predator movies.
Okay.
Well, the worst goes Aliens versus Predator, the second one, and then The Predator. Those are the bottom tier for me.
Yeah, I was surprised how poor Alien vs. Predator was. I was expecting a lot more out of it.
Yeah, I like the first one. The second one is the one that's bad.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think all that much of the first one either, quite frankly.
Anyways.
So do you like the Predator's look where he's exposing himself? He's in Japan and he's got the skull head.
I like the skull head, yeah. Kind of reminds you of Prey. The skull mask from Prey movie.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. Well, I think it looks pretty badass, but I gotta ask. They must have modified it because part of the function of the mask is to provide gases, whatever gases that the Predator lives on.
Right.
So it looks like there's openings all over the place. So I don't see how it could be sealed.
Right.
But
yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. It was my same complaint on Prey. Hmm. The mask in Prey also had big holes in it because it was just a skull. And I had the same question as that.
Yeah.
I know they can live in the Earth atmosphere, but not well. Not for, not at their optimal level.
Right.
So, yeah. No, I agree with you. It looks cool, but how functional is it really?
Exactly. So.
And they don't have lenses, so he doesn't get all the different visions and stuff that he would have if he had the his real mask.
That's a good
on.
Point. So he doesn't have the heat vision, infrared vision.
Well, he would always have that one because that's his natural eyesight. But it's all the other visions that he has. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, there you go.
But he wouldn't see those cool little like. Glyphs and stuff to the side when people are talking and can hear their voices or record their voices and things like that. Anyways, I think we're nitpicking a little too much, but I agree with you 100%. The mask looks really cool as a skull, but how practical really is it?
Exactly, right.
So back in that first part of the story, the now part, I kept thinking of what was it? Unbreakable.
Okay.
Remember
the M. Night Shyamalan thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Bruce Willis's only his kryptonite was water.
Water. Right.
And so this kind of made me think, well, that would have to be Wolverine's too, because he still has to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did stay under there long enough, would he eventually drown?
Yeah. I would think he would.
Because I think it was the last issue where he kind of said, this is the one thing that can stop me or whatever. I don't think it was this issue.
Yeah, well, it was a previous issue. And yeah. I think it was probably the last one, probably the second issue.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they totally teed that up like, oh, I'm going to sink like a rock because of all this metal in my body. And I got all these rocks on top of me. And I think they even hinted at the idea that he was losing consciousness.
Right.
So it was like, oh, boy, he's really. And then you see then the final panel, I think, was, the Predator. You know, coming up on him, swimming down to him. So it's like, oh my God, he's a goner. And then in this one, he isn't in quite so helpless a state all of a sudden. And I was just trying, I mean, there's definitely a lot of blood coming off of his body and his claws and whatever, obscuring things to some degree. And then a whole bunch of other stuff starts obscuring where Wolverine is. So I didn't really get an indication of what he was saying or from the comic, but I figure, you know, most bodies of water have a lot of garbage on the floor. And if you kick it up, it's going to cloud up. And if there's enough that you can kick up, you can obscure visibility. So I was hoping that's what happened.
See, and I took it that he was somehow like slicing off some of his flesh or something to get out from underneath that rock. You know, he was too big to get out from underneath. That's what I was thinking, but because it's all that red, it's all red sediment. So that made me really think that it was more blood. You know, even more than the missing shoulder and stuff that he had.
Oh, so he's cutting himself. Oh boy. Okay.
That's what I took when I first read it. So who knows if that's really what happens? Because I'm kind of skimming through the. Because he talks. He's like constantly monologuing in his head.
Exactly and, right. Yeah.
I don't think he ever actually says it now that I think about it. But
And the whole time he's talking to himself and saying stuff that really I think is a bunch of garbage, whatever. I mean, basically saying things like, ooh, the Predator. You know, depends on technology too much. And this is he's in my territory and all this hunting stuff.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So maybe he was hacking himself more up, but after he got out from under the rocks, which not 100% sure how he did it. Maybe he cut off parts of him, but what happens next? Okay. So you've got stuff in the air so the Predator can't see you. But if you're not able to get out of the area and, more importantly, get to the shore so he can breathe again, how is he going to get away? I mean, here's a fully functional Predator. And yes, his vision is obscured for a time, but it's like all I would do is go to the surface and just look around and wait until he comes to the surface because Wolverine's going to have to. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the next thing they don't show. How did he get away? Because I would.
Right. Yeah. And you could say, well, he wanted to actually be the one that takes him out. So, you know, he delivered the death blow. That's why he can put him as a trophy. But then the scene at the Weapon X kind of contradicts that because he doesn't take out Wolverine. Wolverine's sitting there sleeping and he just, you know, pours that crap on his face. seems kind of like a dishonorable way to win.
Oh, very dishonorable.
But he was going to take that as a trophy.
Yeah, yes, he was.
So, yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point, because the whole idea that you want to earn the kill, is completely gone in that Weapons X scene.
Yeah. Right.
Good point. And by the way, in this section, the current time period, great artwork.
Oh, I love the artwork. Wolverine looks great.
Yeah.
The Predator looks great.
Yep. Lots of detail.
Yeah. The Weapon X section, it was all right, but I didn't think it was as good as the artwork in the now parts.
Agreed.
And then the Japan one, it was too colorful. I know that they're fighting under cherry blossoms and stuff, and that was kind of the point, but just a lot of the action and stuff has all these pastel colors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look as intimidating.
Yeah. And the particular art style is unique probably to the artist. So that's fine. But it's like exactly how Wolverine looks.
Right. Great. I think they're also trying to ape the style from the time, right? That this book's kind of in line with, this era, and we're trying to make him look like that Wolverine.
Okay. Anyway, it's the current time period that I think we're saying we like the best. But, but that's okay. Just wait till the fourth issue.
Yeah, they throw a curveball on you.
yeah, as far as art style.
Well, do you have anything else? I don't have anything
else. I don't have anything else. I like the issue. I mean, from an action standpoint, this was a good issue.
Oh yeah, totally.
Even though some of the things that was going on, kind of hard to believe, but
right. And going into this next issue, this is also for this one. The cover dates are January for issue number 3, January of 2024, and February of 2024 for issue 4. So I don't know where you're getting the November thing from.
Well, that's exactly what you would expect. Actually, I thought I got it from a text that you sent me, and you pointed me to some website page.
Well, I'm reading mine off of Marvel Unlimited, and I'm also looking at the Lone Star website, and they both have the February and January dates. So again,
I went to Lone Star and I did not see the dates.
Oh really?
And I'm looking at the covers and there's no dates.
Yeah, there's no dates on the cover, and on digital files they don't put the dates in the digital files anymore.
Oh really?
You could look at the fine print and you could read it there, but for Marvel, they don't do the dates. I don't think DC does either, but I think IDW still does. So that's why we're still used to seeing it.
Sure. I wonder why they wouldn't.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway.
All right.
I think the dates still make a difference. But good that you... I mean, if you assume that the first issue was November, everything you just said makes perfect sense.
Right.
And that's what I had originally. Just guessing that the first one was in November, so the other ones would be December and January and February, but...
Right.
Okay.
All right, well then let's get into 4. So there's 5 covers for this one. First cover is by Marco Chieto, and this... they kind of all have the same theme. It's Wolverine fighting Predator. But this one's kind of cool because it shows Predator getting stabbed in the chest and... They're standing in front of his trophy room. It's a nice one. The next cover is by Bill Slinzinski. And this is a really cool picture. Nice, sharp angles and everything. But again, just a Predator fighting a Wolverine who's jumping at him. And it looks like they're fighting in the snow. Next one is Dan Jurgens' cover, and this is probably the more classic 90s Wolverine look, and he's fighting the Predator, but they're on like some sort of like Jurassic Park set or something, because there's a T-Rex and some pterodactyls in the background. The next cover is by Joshua Cassara, and it shows the Predator looking at a trophy wall, and on the trophy wall is a bunch of different Wolverine heads from different eras of Marvel Comics, along with several arms and claws from different Wolverines in the past. So kind of like a what if trophy room. And then the last cover is the exact same cover by Bill Sulzinski, except it's no logos and no barcodes or anything. The art staff and everything is exactly the same. So the same artists for the present day and the Japanese era. We do have a new era in this issue. It's the Westchester era. And the artist for that is Gavin Gudry. And then the colorist for that era is Matthew Wilson. So we start off in the present. So this is a little before the big fight that's kind of been the book-ending parts of all the issues. So this shows Wolverine setting up a trap for the Predator. He puts the fish scale mask on a pole in the middle of a field in the Canadian wilderness. And before too long, you see a streak of light going across the sky, heralding the return of his longtime foe. So the Predator shows up wearing his bone mask made out of that bear skull from issue number one. When a Predator arrives to claim his mask, he sets off some booby traps that Wolverine had set up, but he easily avoids them or dispatches them. Wolverine exposes himself, and then he takes a hit in the shoulder by the Predator's plasma caster, resulting in that gnarly shoulder wound that we've been looking at for the last few issues. Wolverine is in full retreat as the Predator remasks. So now we get the first flashback. This is back to the Japanese storyline from the last issue, where the Wolverine is battling the Predator in the little cherry blossom fields with the sensei watching. The sensei says that the alien is not his enemy, so he lets Wolverine deal with it himself. So the Wolverine is using just the katana and not using the blades, his not using his claws. But when he can't get the upper hand with just using the sword, he discards it and he goes feral and he unleashes the claws. Just then, the Predator vanishes and disappears as a third party of red-clad ninjas show up into the fight. Sensei says that the alien will return, but right now they have more important things to worry about. So now we flash back to another time frame. This is at the Xavier School of Gifted Humans, or Gifted Mutants. The Predator is attacking the X-Mansion. He nearly takes out Professor X with like a missile attack of some sort. And then as he's going through the mansion, he takes out several top-tier X-Men. He's able to eventually grab a hold of Rogue, holds her up by the hair, and he threatens to decapitate her. Wolverine then gives up, and he puts on some handcuffs that was provided by the alien. As he's being led to the Predator's ship, Kitty Pryde and several other X-Men attack the Predator, causing him to retreat and leave his living trophy. We now flash to the present. This is taking place right after the river incident. So the Wolverine has plucked out his own eye and puts it into a mud decoy of his body. When the Predator sees this, he thinks that the mutant is trying to pull an old Arnie slash Dutch mud trick, and he attacks the decoy. Mud flies everywhere just as the real Wolverine leaps from the trees and stabs the creature over and over again with his claws. The two are then locked into a deadly bear hug, with each one stabbing the other ones with blades and or claws. Eventually, Wolverine delivers a death blow, but the Predator has one last trick and he sets off his gauntlets self-destruct. The blast takes out everything, but Wolverine is eventually able to regrow all of his tissue again and leaves the wilderness naked and with only a single Predator blade to add to his own trophy wall. The end.
Okay, so Wolverine's able to win by using his ace in the hole, his ridiculous healing factor, right, which apparently can bring him back from absolutely freaking anything. Isn't that kind of cheating?
Yeah, it's a little cheating.
But the Predator does use advanced technology, which does Logan has no access to. Sure he does.
What, the gun, the plasma caster? That's about it. That's all he ever used.
Well, really? Let's start making a list, shall we? So he's got that electrical bolo thing back in Westchester.
Yeah, those are just weapons.
Well, yeah.
Wolverine has weapons, too.
What do you think?
I don't think it's
Wolverine
cheating.
Wolverine has one weapon. He's got his claws, which is a good one. Right. And, of course, so does the alien. He's got the gauntlet things with the thing that comes out.
Right.
He's got the bolo thing, the electric thing. He's got the plasma cannon. Yes, let's not discount that, since it took a big chunk out of Wolverine's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the Krull throwing weapon?
Yeah.
He can track him in the dark and everything else, which Wolverine can't do.
Yeah, although, he can. Wolverine
does he have amazing smell?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
which is why I think he can...
He's got a spaceship. He's got invisibility. I mean, I could keep on going all the technology that the Predator has at their disposal that Wolverine doesn't.
Right.
But in the end, Wolverine pulled out his ace in the hole, which is let's both be destroyed with a nuclear detonation. I mean, that's a huge explosion. Is that that's supposed to be nuclear, right?
I think like that's what they've said in the movies, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a little mini nuke that's in the gauntlet that, you know, is going to take over or take care of any evidence that the Predator was ever there and going to take out whatever kind of prey was able to best a Predator. So
right.
Anyway, I don't know. It just seems like a little, I don't know. It's like, it's, I don't know. It seems a little like cheating, but that's fine. Whatever.
Right.
I mean,
I agree with you.
So even if you chop his head off, I mean, I know Deadpool had his head chopped off at one point, right? In the comics.
Yeah, right.
And I know that Hulk pulled Wolverine in half, but I mean, even if you take his head off, like the traditional zombie way to, or vampire or whatever traditional, definitely Highlanders or, you know, those immortal things.
That is,
lose
that
your
is
head, you're dead.
Those. Yep.
Okay, so even that doesn't kill him.
Right.
It's like,
no, I agree. Because, I mean, supposedly Deadpool can be regenerated from a single drop of blood, which...
Wow.
I'm like, that's a little much.
That's much, but come on. What about the crater action?
Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty over the top.
So, like, when in the movie The Predator, I think it is, when Wolverine is there at Hiroshima when the nuclear bomb goes off, mm-hmm. and he's able to just kind of like he's in a foxhole or some sort of
underground
hole, his body is still exposed, so the blast still like shears off the, you know, his whole back and everything, and he's able to regrow from that. I mean, that was, you know, obviously it's like when you think about it too hard, you're just like, well, what about the radiation and all that stuff?
Sure.
But, you know, taking that out of the effect, you know, that was to me believable. It's like, okay, you know, his body didn't get atomized, so okay, he can regenerate from that. But these two times in these books, I'm like, I think you're going a little too far. And I'm sure there's tons of books where he's probably come back from worse. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't read any Wolverine books since like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all fake and you have to go over the top all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I mean, exactly. It's just to spice things up, they just go a little too far over the top, I think.
Right. And that's why I think I like it when the Predator's going up against humans. So, like, mm-hmm. when he went up against Batman, he went up against Judge Dredd, he went up against Tarzan and Magnus the Robot Hunter and things like that. You know, it's just like, all right, so those are humans that have, like, at the peak of, you know, human
fitness or
fitness,
whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think I like those stories better than, you know, him going up against superpowered characters. Batman and Superman and Wolverine and Wonder Woman and stuff like that.
Right.
not saying I don't also like those. I just like, I like the mortal characters a little bit better here.
Because they're really underdogs. And when they are able to best the Predator, it's hard fought. It's a hard fought victory.
Right.
Where this thing was like, regeneration card. Boom. I'm playing it.
Right. So, I mean, so saying that, I mean, obviously Wolverine is one of the most popular Marvel characters they have, mm-hmm. but if you could pick another Marvel character for them to team up next time, who would you want to see?
Oh, against the Predator?
The Predator, yeah.
I think Kraven the Hunter would be interesting.
Oh, that would be good.
Two hunters.
Right.
They're really good at the hunting thing, so I would be interested in seeing that. And Kraven was like rich, right? So he had money.
Right.
So he was able to have some amount of gadgetry when he was fighting Spider-Man and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Some amount. Okay. So that might be interesting.
Yeah, that would be good. And Punisher would be good, I think.
Punisher. Mm-hmm. Punisher would be good. Because again, a human, like you point, you make a good point there. No superhuman abilities, although great human level skills.
Right. Could you see him do Spider-Man?
Yeah. But what's okay? So what would be the big thing about what would make the Spider-Man fight interesting? I mean, agility, super strength.
What if the Predator got a hold of a symbiote? So it was like a Carnage slash Venom.
Be a Carnage. Oh my God. A Predator. Carnage Predator.
That'd be pretty good.
That would be a challenge. That would be a challenge. Yeah. You know, Captain America, you know, again, he's got super strength.
Right.
He's got the shield. I don't know. What I'm not sure what you can do with that. Iron Man, I mean, the Predator's weapons, well, I'm not sure what the plasma cannon could do, but the bladed weapons wouldn't be able to do anything to the armor, I wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think, right? If it can withstand rockets and stuff, it can withstand the blade.
Right.
So, and yeah, spear, it's just interesting. I'm sure Marvel's going to do more crossovers. It's just curious to see which one they're going to do after the Alien Avengers crossover.
Right.
Whatever they do, I'm probably going to be buying it and reading it. So,
me too.
Hope it's just good. All right. So back to this issue. All the Predator's tech and everything was destroyed except for this one blade. That seemed kind of weird. So he did end up leaving some technology behind after all.
Well, the mask was able to survive that plunge from space, which is pretty impressive tech. So the electronics inside apparently didn't get fried. So whatever materials they use for their weapons and their masks is really tough. So the idea that it would survive the blast, I guess, makes some sense. Mm-hmm. But I thought part of the reason that you do the nuclear blast is that it erases evidence you were there, but... Maybe the Predator really doesn't care about that.
I think
he'll get rid of his. Oh, he does care. Yeah. Okay. I would think they would, but obviously some of their kit can survive those blasts. So.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe that blade was in Wolverine when it went off, and maybe that's how it survived.
Oh.
Because he was getting, they were both pincushions there towards the end because they were just literally just hugging each other, stabbing each other in the chest until eventually Wolverine hit the heart or whatever.
Right.
So
yep.
I'm going with that was inside Wolverine and he didn't get evaporated, so therefore it lived.
Okay.
So you love the artwork, that fight.
The current time period artwork again is awesome. Very good job.
And you wanted to talk about the Westchester artwork?
At some point, I guess let's do it now. Yes, the Westchester artwork with the X-Men. So they were apparently trying to evoke the art style of the time period. Mm-hmm. And I found that it was jarring. When we, you know, we're going for, you know, really good artwork. And then we did the Japanese one, right?
Right.
And then we did Westchester. Mm-hmm. So I think the Japan one was good artwork too. Not as good as the current time period, but really quite good.
Right.
And then boom, you're dropped into, you know, very much more rudimentary, art style.
Right.
That was a bit shocking.
Yeah.
And I don't like it as much, but you know, from a old fashioned traditional, art style, I guess it was a nice blast from the past, I guess.
Yeah. I do like this kind of stuff because mm-hmm. I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, it's so bad. You know, it's just like you said, it's jarring. And you're like, this is not what it looked like back then. Cause in your mind's eye, you remember it looking so good, you know, and then you go back and you read those old issues from the 80s and 90s and you're like, oh no, this is what it looked like. Just, I've misremembered. Cause so many times I've pulled out an old Superman book or even an old Star Trek book. And it's just like, oh wow, these are not looking the way I remembered them looking. Yeah, like when we did the old DC Volume 1 of the motion picture era.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when I was a kid, I thought that was like it's like best watching
artwork
the movie
ever.
Yeah, that was like, oh, they were exactly like they are in the movie. And then you go back and we reread it, and I'm just like, whoo, these look nothing like the Shat or the ships or anything like that. So, but anyways, but out of this artwork, the Predator, it was a little jarring just because he's wearing that skull helmet, and it always looked like he was really surprised all the time because his glowing yellow eyes are always like coming through the skull.
I completely agree. He looks kind of schlocky, which takes me a bit out of it.
Right, right. And then that storyline I didn't really care for because really. Wolverine doesn't do much. He gives himself up, and then the other X-Men kind of save him, and then then the Predator leaves.
So he gives himself up to save them. Then they rescue him.
Right.
And so that's cool, you know, he has friends that are helping him get out of this particular confrontation. But yeah. Yeah, Wolverine himself didn't do that much. He did a lot of whining. Kurt, no, go away. Get away from me. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
Which is fine. I mean, because that was the storyline at this point, is that he was learning to be a team player as opposed to this this lone wolf that was always out doing it.
Lone wolf.
But yeah, boy, the mansion is torched.
Yeah, it's the upper level has like four missiles that plow into it. How more people didn't get killed? Who knows?
Right.
And of course, the whole thing's on fire at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're gonna have to rebuild the thing, which I'm sure it's been rebuilt a couple times in the comics over the years, but this definitely looks like one of them.
Yeah, and boy, they take out. Professor X just gets knocked over in the wheelchair and then he's just out for the rest of the book.
Exactly. Right.
It's just like,
yep.
You got one of the most powerful mutants that can literally stop time if he wants to, but he falls off. Well, he falls out of his chair
that's why you want him to be out of it. It's like making sure Hulk isn't around during some big thing because he has so much power.
Right, right.
Until all of a sudden you find out, Thanos can kick his ass. It's like, really? Okay, I guess that's what we're saying now. Okay, fine. So, I mean, Colossus, he was saving the professor, so he didn't get into a mano-a-mano, but I would think Colossus could kick the Predator's butt.
Right.
And then Rogue isn't, too, who?
Rogue?
Beast.
Oh, well, yeah, Beast. Is he even there?
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, so Beast is really strong too. Now Rogue is the one that finally sent him packing. but I don't understand how. And this whole part is a little confusing to me, and I don't 100% get it, and I thought I would ask you about it, right?
Well, she touches him, so she gains his power.
Okay, but okay, so he's on his back, okay? The Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Kitty Pryde came out from the ground.
Kitty Pryde, exactly. So they tripped him, basically.
Basically,
okay?
Yeah.
And so he's on the ground, and then you can see Rogue's hand. And you can see the green cuff of her uniform, mm-hmm. and you know that's what Rogue had on. And in fact, another panel actually shows Rogue right over him, and one of her gloves is off. And it looks like the Predator, who oddly enough is saying "screw," okay, he's mimicking something that Wolverine said or something, I guess.
Right.
And it looks like the Predator has in his hands, on his chest. Oh, that's what it is. It's the skull.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't make that out. Okay, right. So it is the skull. Okay.
Yeah,
so, then it looks like she's touching the skull and maybe touching part of one finger or part of maybe a little bit of the hand.
Right, yeah, his fingers.
Okay, so what did she do to him? I mean, I know that Rogue is supposed to be able to take people's powers and duplicate them, right? So, like, she touched at one point Captain Marvel, and she had Captain Marvel's powers,
right?
But what does it do to the person? I mean, so what effect did her touching the Predator have on the Predator?
Yeah, it would have weakened him, which I guess is why he's on the ground with his hand up, like, "Oh, save me!" But yeah, why did they let him go? Why did they just let him turn invisible and walk off?
Well, as soon as he turned invisible, they couldn't track him. I'm going to guess. I'm going to assume.
Mm.
But, okay. So I'm just, so they were able to beat him, get him on the ground. And so he turned invisible and left. But I really don't fully understand what Rogue touching him did.
Right. Well, just made him weaker. I guess that's why he had to run off.
Okay.
But yeah, she would have gained his powers then.
That's if he had any powers. And what, other than technology and strength?
Yeah, I guess he really doesn't have mutant
powers.
Doesn't
really have powers per se.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I just wonder about that.
But then even like, you know, with Nightcrawler, I mean, he kind of shows up and blinds him, but he could have just bamfed him up into the sky and let him go. You know,
So Nightcrawler saved Logan's life by, you know, time or space jumping or whatever he does, alternate dimension, whatever. But then he pops up behind him and pulls his air tubes. Right.
Which I guess proves that he does still have the air tubes, even though I don't see how it's working.
Exactly. So somehow, is it going through his nose? Or something. I don't know. Somehow it's going into him and he's not breathing regular air until he's on the ground and then the mask comes off and then Rogue touches his hand. So he definitely doesn't have the breathing apparatus anymore. So that's definitely a weakness.
Right.
And that may be part of the reason he was, you know, going back to his ship.
Right. Maybe.
Anyway. Yeah. Mm. Just piecing it all together. Okay, so the one that made herself look like Logan and had the Predator wondering if he had the right prey or not.
Right.
So who was she?
Is that not Mystique?
Was that Mystique? Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense then. I just don't remember seeing Mystique. Okay, so I'm more of a movie X-Men person than a comic book, because I really never read the comic books when I was younger. It all seemed to come out later in time, because I'm kind of old. So I really don't know some of the traditional costumes. So at one point in time, Mystique wore an X-Men costume.
I think so. Don't hold me up on that. don't hold me to that, but that's who I thought it was.
Okay. That makes sense. Mystique has that, you know, morphin... you know, ability to look like anybody. Yeah.
Right. So my last comment on this book, the whole putting the eyeball into the fake body thing. One, I mean, we the audience have seen Predators, so we know that what they're kind of aping there, Arnold Schwarzenegger putting the mud on him.
Yep.
But Wolverine hasn't. So why would he decide to do this, and why would it work? Because the Predator, I mean, I'm assuming that eyeball doesn't stay warm for too terribly long after being plucked out. But you're saying that it was enough heat that the Wolverine or the Predator recognized it and attacked the mud pile?
Yeah, good point. Because we as people just looking at it say, oh yeah, there's the eye. But he doesn't deal in visible light, right? It's all heat.
Right. Infrared. Right. Yeah. And good point. We saw in Predator and Predators that if you're caked up in mud, even though your eyes are unmuddied, the Predator still can't see you.
Yeah. Yep. All good questions.
But
and also gross. So Wolverine pulls his eye out of his skull.
Yeah. Knowing that it'll grow back.
Yeah. But still, that's tough. He's tough.
Yeah.
He's a muy, muy macho man.
All right. Anything else for you?
I guess I just want to say at the beginning of Wolverine's gambit to take the mask out of the lead-lined suitcase and then put it out there as bait, I was as the fight ensues, it's like, boy, Wolverine, you're not that smart, are you? So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, Wolverine was always like anger and brute strength and the claws and the attitude and all that kind of stuff. He's definitely not a great tactician or like Batman.
Right.
And boy, did he prove it. He's getting his butt kicked. And then, of course, you know, after the fact, when he's in the middle of getting his butt kicked, he says, oh, gosh, I really should have booby-trapped the mask with poison.
Right.
It's like, yeah, good idea, Nimrod. Jeez.
Or bring Colossus or somebody. Why do this yourself?
Yeah, bring some backup. Exactly.
Because this takes place after he's now a team player. He could have called on the X-Men, the Avengers, you know, tons of other friends that would be there to help him.
There you go.
But again, he kind of like the Predator. He has to do this himself.
You guys do it himself. Mano y mano. Yeah. Anywho. It's cool. You know. I do like the series. Although I'm surprised that I liked it more in the beginning issues than the end issues. Although I like the end issues too.
Yeah. I really liked that first fight with young Wolverine.
Yep. That was good.
That was good. And then I liked how they brought back the bear, right? I mean, so we saw him kill the bear, and then here he's wearing the bear skull.
Right.
It's a nice little nod to his past.
There you go. And there were many skulls he could have worn, but he did choose what appears to be the bear skull.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, no, it's good stuff.
Yep.
I'm always a sucker for any kind of crossover, so...
Especially if it involves Predator.
Exactly.
For you.
For me.
For you. And actually, I do like him also. But
Yep. Okay. All right. But that being said, we now have enough Star Trek comics that we can go back to our Star Trek comic book review.
Very good. So we'll be doing Defiance and Star Trek 2022 again?
Yep, so Star Trek 21 and Defiant number 16.
Great. Go back and see what's going on in those storylines. So definitely, I think both of the last issues left us with quite a cliffhanger.
So we'll see what happens with those. The bug thing going with Defiant and the Star Trek is now in the realm of gods. So
exactly, and the gods don't want them there.
They do not.
Prepare to be unmade.
Ouch. Oh, and that's right. And what's her face from Picard was there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ah, oh, man, I forgot her name. What's her name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
We're the big Star Trek fans. We don't well, know who the characters are. But
some of the Picard things are like, I wasn't that I mean, first the actress was the robot.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. That's cool. I liked her better then. And then she pops back again as being a Soon.
Data's daughter, or Soon's daughter.
Soon's daughter, right.
Right.
She was basically grown in the lab, right? She was an experiment.
Right. So it was like, yeah, right, something like that.
I mean, wasn't she like number 35 out of whatever? I mean, I forgot what her number was, but she was basically one of a series of experiments, and she actually went further than any of the previous ones. Anyway, I didn't think that she was that memorable a character, so sorry, I don't remember her name.
That's all right. I won't hold it against you much.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay.
But you obviously don't remember her name either.
I do not, but I've only seen Picard once, whereas the old Star Trek I've seen so many times.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Well, looking forward to that in the next episode, next thrill-packed episode.
Indeed.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us on the review.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Star Trek Comic Book Review. All Star Trek stories and characters are copyrighted CBS Studios Incorporated. All music, stories, and characters discussed are for entertainment purposes only. You can email us at startcomicbookreview@gmail.com. Visit us at our website, www.stcomicbookreview.com. Subscribe to us via iTunes or friend us on Facebook at First Name ST Comic, Second Name Book Review. See you next time on Star Trek Comic Book Review.